to thank those who made this possible, specifically Sat Khan and Averman, attorneys at law, who are partners in all of our... Who's in charge of this place? So, to Sat Khan and Averman, we have our very great representative over here, Josh Khan, and their partners in our T4, our Bizalach initiative, which is to bring Chesh HaMishpah, understanding of it, and the Chizik and the Kiyam of Dine Chesh HaMishpah throughout South Florida and other places too. And also to encourage people to get a Beis Din and do everything proper, La Halacha. And Sat Khan and Averman are always there for everybody. Shkoyach to them, shkoyach to Josh for making this happen. And it's a very big schuss that we have with us Rabbi Yaakov Grossler, Shkoyach, Mayim Beach Community Kollel, giving a share on facilitating the Aveira, the parameters of Lifnei Iver. And it says on the sign, attention, attorneys, contact Y. Parsons. You're not contacting Y. Parsons at K, you're contacting Rabbi Parsons at yparsons@k7b.org for CLE credits, just to clarify. The Shkoyach, Rabbi Gross.
Regular source of after Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah,
First, I would like to thank Rabbi Blazer and Rabbi Singer for giving me the opportunity to present this shiur, and hopefully it'll be some use for some people, at least. And okay, so we're going to be beginning the topic of Lifnei Iver, Lifnei Michshol, what the parameters of that Isser are, and how they apply, and how you can maybe possibly circumvent them under certain circumstances, and some other ideas that come along with this. So the shiur itself is on Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver, we all know, is a lav d'oraisa. Rishonim say there's many different ways of Lifnei Iver, like Sitei Michshol. There's a machlokes, if you actually go ahead and put a michshol, if you put a stumbling block in front of a blind person, are you going to be oiver on the lav of Lifnei Iver, like Sitei Michshol? So the literal meaning of the pasuk is might be an avera, might not be an avera. There's a lot of reasons why people argue over why there is no avera of Lifnei Iver, like Sitei Michshol, to put a stumbling block in front of a blind person, literally. Is because the pasuk says Lifnei Iver lo siten. It doesn't say lo sosim. It's lo siten. Nesina is usually when you're giving something from one person to another person. And over here, the pasuk says that Lifnei Iver lo siten michshol. So if you're going ahead and putting just a block, it should be lo sosim. Don't put a block in front of a blind person because he's going to trip on it. But it's not a nesina. It's a sima. You're placing something as a stumbling block. So this is, some say that's the diak in the pasuk, that whereas Chazal saw that the pasuk should not be taken literally. It's a machlokes, however. Some say if you do actually do it, there's a lav. Some of Rishonim say, no, it's chalal, not a lav at all. There is no averus for putting the stumbling block in front of a blind person. In fact, some people say that if you do that, if you consider that to be a lav, that you could possibly be a kuti, because you're taking the pasuk literally, and that's not what Chazal understood. But or whatever it is, at the end of the day, there's this lav of that Lifnei Iver lo sitein michshol. Lifnei Iver lo sitein michshol, you can't go ahead and do, you put a michshol in front of a person who is considered to be an Iver, doesn't mean literally that he's blind. It doesn't mean that you put a stumbling block there. So what is the pasuk talking about? So there's two other things it could be talking about. Besides the literal pasuk, there's another problem is that you can't give bad advice to a person. Giving bad advice is considered to be a lav, and it's brought down by the Rishonim that this is included in Lifnei Iver lo sitein michshol. There's a little bit of a question based on the Lashonis of the Rishonim that does it mean that you're giving the bad advice because you want to take advantage of it? So many of the Rishonim, when they give an example why a person would be Lifnei Iver, why he would give a person bad advice, is because he wants to take advantage. He's going to sneak around the person, he's going to give him a piece of bad advice, and he'll sneak around and he'll take something from him, or he'll take advantage of this person. That's where it's usher. So according to them, it sounds like it's only when the person is doing it for nefarious purposes, when you give bad advice. But it's time somebody gives a piece of bad advice to somebody, they're not going to be over on Lifnei Iver. Other places, it doesn't seem to say that. It just says it's Lifnei Iver is giving bad advice. And so giving bad advice would be considered to be Lifnei Iver. And it doesn't have to be for nefarious purposes. But the person's not gives bad advice, you're not supposed to give people bad advice. In fact, there are some Rishonim who seem to learn that there's a mitzvah to go ahead and get good advice to a person. You learn it out, l'chlalash ato shemeyehein. I'm not sure exactly how that works over here, but they learn out that if a person should go around giving people good advice, there's a mitzvah in the Torah to give a good advice based on the opposite of the law that says that you're not allowed to give bad advice to a person. Okay. But we're not going to talk about any of that. That's just an introduction. What we'll talk about is the third kind of Lifnei Iver. And that is Lifnei Iver, that deals with a situation where a person is involved with an Avera. A situation of an Avera, there's an Avera occurring, and under certain circumstances, it's going to be Lifnei Iver. What's the example? So the example, the common example is let's say a person wants to eat something that is not kosher, and he can't obtain that not kosher item. He heard about a place, I don't know, that there's a new restaurant, and really it's not kosher, but he got to try it out. It's like, loyally. You have these kinds of people. And this person doesn't know where to go, let's say. Or let's say he can't get there. He can't get there. And you go and you facilitate his ability to get to that place. Give him a ride. You give him a ride and you show him this is it. So you have violated, that is the situation, not you, but whoever would do such a thing, would go ahead and violate that. They're doing a lot in the Torah. This is the standard meaning, going ahead and making available an avera to another person. By going ahead and doing that, so you're taking a person which is an iver, we're not talking he's literally blind, but he's blind because his head is messed up. And he thinks, I'll do this avera, it's no big deal. And whatever. So that person's called an iver, a blind person. And with Na'iver, Loisite Mitchell, you're going ahead and you're putting the stumbling block in front of him. This is the situation in which we have a love of Doiraisa. So Loisase, that the person is violating. Now, this Loisase is a very fascinating thing. We were just talking about a moment ago about giving good advice. They learn out that giving good advice is considered to be a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to do it because if neiver lo yisit ein mishal means don't give him bad advice. So going back to the previous way of looking at the pasuk, which means giving bad advice. But there's a mitzvah to go ahead and give good advice. There's an interesting thing which I don't want to spend that much time on, but it's fascinating. Is the mitzvah, we just said there's a mitzvah loisase in the Torah. Don't make an avera available to somebody. Question is, how far do you have to go for that? How far does a person have to go to that? So there's an interesting thing that comes up that shows you how far it goes. Not everyone agrees with this, but they are. The Mishnah seems to say this, and so it goes to an extreme position on this, basing this on a Rambam. This is based on a Rambam, is that Lifnei Iver lo yisit ein mishal, just like we said before, when you give good advice, you're doing the opposite of the aver, so that's a mitzvah. So there is a mitzvah for a person to go around stopping people from doing averes. And if you don't stop a person from doing an avera, right, you see somebody doing something wrong, and you don't stop the person, you're going to be aver on Lifnei Iver lo yisit ein mishal. Okay. And where does he get this? This is based on a Rambam. The Rambam says in Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam says that there is an obligation on people who are Talmidei Chachamim. Okay? I'm saying everybody was going to say, Nishkin Talmud Chacham. But that's no excuse. If you have Talmud Chacham who has learned and knows Halacha, and so the Rambam says, so they have to go ahead and teach people what they have to do. And if they don't teach the people what they have to do, they don't teach people halacha. They don't teach people halacha. People are wandering around and just doing what they're doing, and they don't know if it's right or wrong or anything. They have no idea. They never learned anything about it. If they don't teach it, the Rambam goes ahead and starts using a lashon that this is they went ahead and caused a stumbling block with Lifnei Ivrim. They're leaving people blind. They don't know what to do. So from this Rambam, the Lashon uses it, it's like very suggestive. Ron doesn't say it straight out, but it's very suggestive, and it's learned like this by some of the Afarim, like the Mishnah Melech and others, is that what the Rambam is saying, that this is Lifnei Iver. That if you're a Talmud Chacham who knows Halacha, and you're not telling people what the Halacha is, so then you are violating Lifnei Iver lo yisit ein mishal, meaning, even though I didn't do anything, I didn't do anything. I just stay quiet. I'm sitting in my seat in the morning, and that's a good brother in the Shmach. And that's all right, then I can do that. But that's considered to be, it's B'Shev Al Taisa. The person is being Iver, Lifnei Iver, like Sitei Mechshol. It's a very good Kiddush. It's a very big Kiddush. A huge Kiddush.
The Shari Tshuva sounds like that also.
Okay. So go ahead. That's true. The last part of it over there. So that's what the Rambam seems. So it's on that also the Rambam, he might makes it sound that this is real. So the problem is like this. It goes to wild proportions. I'm not going to spend time on this because we can spend the rest of the day just on talking about this. But the Maral Diskin comes up with a Shiloh that the Gemara says. The Gemara in Ksuba says that there was a whole problem with that the officers used to come to take the women away on the day of the wedding, before their wedding, and with Shtibal. Anyway, the Gemara goes ahead and says that maybe the woman, so the Gemara is worried about that they're going to go ahead and they're going to the woman will commit suicide, so therefore, whatever, the Gemara goes to Cheshvan. I'm not going to go through the whole Gemara right this second, but so the Gemara comes to the conclusion that they couldn't do it, they couldn't stop them, or whatever, they left a certain thing in place because they didn't want to go ahead and they were worried this woman might start committing suicide if they wouldn't take whatever was set up. They had to set up a whole thing in order. But Rav Lubitz can ask on that Gemara, he says, okay, we're worried about the women committing suicide, why are we worried about the fact that the guy who's coming is going to be either an iser of violei an arusa or nesua or an arusa nesua, and so why aren't we worried about the aver that the person is doing? We should be worried about it. Why doesn't the Gemara talk about the fact that this headman who's doing this terrible person is? You go ahead and that's lifnei really sitei mitzvah. You're going ahead and you're making this woman get married, and she's going to be a usher to him because it's a rias for a guy to be boil a Jewish woman who is an arusa and an asua. So he's doing a rias. Why doesn't the Gemara consider the problem that the heckman's having? Like Nebuch, he's going to be a wife. So there's lifnei really seek and mishal. Why isn't that part of the cheshvan that we shouldn't, whatever. Anyway, I'm just using this as an example, how absurd it gets. And so a woman has to be worried about that she's going to be a thing, so that because of they should make accommodations for the guy in order that he should be able to do it without an iser, and she should not be in the suah, whatever. He asks this a question. The Moshe, as we're going to see in a moment, talks about this. He says there's no way in the world. Such a kash is absurd. He says, to go ahead and say, he says, let's say a guy has money in his pocket, and the guy goes ahead and gets pickpocketed. Right? Somebody picks his pocket. And so, are you going to tell me that he's going to be over on Lifnei Iver, Leisitei Mishol, because he didn't put it into this other pocket? Right? So you have to watch out for all the ganovim, because Chas v'Shalom, I don't want to be marshal you, and the aver of stealing, and therefore... Moshe says this is absurd. He says this can't be. Merle Niskin never said such a thing. Impossible. And so Moshe goes ahead and says that this idea that Lifnei Iver is requires you to go ahead and to proactively go ahead and to do everything to protect someone from being nichshol with your property or with what you're doing that's absurd. He says he doesn't agree with this, and the Mishnah Malach is Tarchi and what he writes on this matter. So getting back to what we're talking about. So we're talking about that Lifnei Iver Leisitei Mishol means facilitating someone's aver. We just said that's facilitating it, and he's participating in the aver that the person is doing. It is not having to get up and Lifnei Iver Leisitei Mishol going ahead and making sure that everything that you have around you is not possible for someone to do an adver with it. There's no such thing like that. Okay, that's the normative halacha. And so lufnei iver is only to actively do something. If you're just not doing something, so then that's not lufnei iver. It's nothing to do with lufnei iver. Okay, so the Gemara goes like this. There's a Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah says that you're not allowed to go ahead and sell certain things to a guy, and on before Ideihem, before their holidays. Okay, so right now, at the time of year where they have their big holidays, and so there's a problem. The Gemara wants to know why can't I sell things to Goyim, certain kinds of things that they need for their Avodah Zarah and things like that at this time of year. And so the Gemara says it's two possibilities. Either it's because they're happy that they get the object, and so they go home and they, I got a wonderful cow that I'm going to use for my Avodah Zarah, and I'll bring it to the temple and they'll burn it and whatever. And so he feels happy, so he thanks his God for giving him the opportunity to have this cow. So he caused the guy to go ahead and to be Avodah Zarah. Okay, is that the problem? Or is the problem, Lifnei Iver L'Sitein Nechshol, is that you're going ahead and giving the guy this object, and now he can go ahead and do his Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara gets into the Shiloh, what is exactly the Isser, why you're not allowed to go ahead and participate in selling things to Goyim by the holiday time, certain kinds of objects. So that's a Shiloh in the Gemara. So one thing we learn is number one over here, is that Lifnei Iver L'Sitein Mechshol, when it comes at least to the Avera part of it, applies to Goyim. You have to protect Goyim, but you're not allowed to participate with Goyim and to facilitate a guy doing an Avera. So this sounds something a little bit strange, is if a guy's about to do an Avera and like he dropped something and you hand him back with his thing, well, that would be maybe only for a bona, but whatever. If you participate in what a guy does and you help him make his Avera, so that would be Lifnei Iver L'Sitein Mechshol. So it's not only for a Jewish people that you have to protect. So we look at Lifnei Iver, it's like a mitzvah shebein adam l'chaveray. Is you're going ahead and you're protecting another Jew from doing something wrong. So I'm helping out the other Jew. It's nothing to do with it. Even a guy, you're not allowed to do this either. It has nothing to do with lifnei iver. It has nothing to do with bein adam l'chaveray. It's a bein adam l'malka mitzvah. There's an interesting thing also, which shows you the severity of this, is that there's only two Averas in the Torah that have this kind of severe thing. But you know what, maybe we'll get back to that a little bit later. Let me just continue with this. So, like this. So there's different kinds of levels of Lifnei Iver. The regular one, the Gemara says, is that if a person goes ahead and facilitates it, and you need to have this person to facilitate it. The Gemara's language for that is that it was... For example, in Nazir, you have a Nazir on one side of the river, and there's a cup of wine on the other side of the river, and you can't reach across the river to get the cup of wine, and you take the cup of wine, and you go ahead and you give it to the Nazir. You have violated Lifnei Iver L'Sitein Mechshol. And this is what the deraisa situation of Lifnei Iver L'Sitein Mechshol, going ahead and doing this kind of activity. Without you, the Avera would have never been done. Now that he passes the cup, he has the ability now to go ahead and drink the cup of wine. And machloikis on this point, whether he actually has to drink the wine or not. Mm-hmm. But one thing you've done is you've created a situation of Lifnei Iver L'Sitein Mechshol. At that point, it is an Isser D'Oraisa to do that. The Gemara calls that Trei Avri D'Nahara, on two sides of the river, meaning if I can't access the ability to do an Avera, and someone else gives me that, he does some action to enable me to do it, so that is an Isser D'Oraisa. Okay, that's a dover pasha like that. After this, it gets very hazy. It's not clear at all. So over here, there's another condition. Let me just point out there's another condition. And this is interesting, because for some reason the Gemara says this, and some of the Rishonim do not discuss this. And they just leave it off, and others are quoted. So in the Shulchan Aruch, so the other condition, number one, is that it has to be trei aver denara, meaning the person who did the avera was not able to access it without the help of someone else. That someone else is going to be doing lois aseh d'oraisa. The Rama adds to this. He says v'dafka kohen. And he says, this is only if you give it, when he's talking about, over here, he's talking about selling items that are needed for the service of Avodah Zarah. He says, you have to sell it to a Kohen, not a Jewish Kohen. We're talking about the Kohen in the temple of the Avodah Zarah. So you have to sell it directly to him. Why? Because there's another condition, which we just mentioned, that this condition which we're going to be talking about now, some Rishonim quote it, and some Rishonim just disappears off the map. It's hard to understand how it does it, because the Gemara literally says this, is that it has to be lifnei iver. Lifnei iver requires that there's only missing one step. So for example, if you're selling something to a guy who's going to have to sell it to a priest, so you're not told that you're being machshel the guy. Because why? It has to have two steps before the avera happens. And when the Torah says lifnei iver leisitei michshol, is the michshol has to be the one step. There's one michshol in front of the guy, and that's it. And that's gonna. And lifnei iver, you're not allowed to do that. But when it's lifnei a double thing. What there has to be two steps for the avera to happen. So that is not considered to be, that's not lifnei iver anymore. That's lifnei de lifnei iver. And lifnei de lifnei is not included. So, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring this down. The Rambam doesn't bring it down. It's a dover pella. We're not going to talk about that at all. But if they bring it out, the Rambam over here happens to stick it in. The dafta l'kayin. It's only when you do it with one step in between. So when you sell it to a priest, then when you have a problem, if you sell it to someone else, another guy, and that guy is going to give it to the priest or sell it to the priest, and then they're going to use it for their temple, that's not a problem. Right? He says, a dafta l'kayin. Oil guy, he says, also another possibility. It doesn't have to be to a thing, but oil guy, shechet chasai, shiikne alavayin, alavayin, kachavim, whatever. And he's going to go ahead and do this. He's going to use it for the Avodah Zarah.
One of the examples you gave was to drive someone to a non-kosher restaurant. Is that lifnei d'lifnei?
No, that's lifnei iver. You're giving him the opportunity, you're taking him there, and he's going to be by the restaurant.
He has to buy something.
He has to buy something.
Yeah.
But he has that ability to buy it. I mean, we're talking about, let's say, he'd have to get, if let's say he didn't have a way to pay for it, then maybe that would apply. But I don't think that's the whole thing of lifnei iver, right?
Because it says through Rashi that if you sell him, if you buy the name of him, he now has money to go buy.
To buy something.
It would also be relevant
either. Right. Yes. That's correct. Okay. So.
Was like around
doesn't even apply. It's a shiloh. What's going on over here? Anyway, thank you. So getting back to over here. So this is what the halacha. So the halacha says is that the dafka l'kayin, and the Rama then goes ahead and throws in a new thing. He says. Hada asur limkor lahem duvarim hashayachom avedasa hainu dafka emein lahem acherim piyotzavoy. They don't have other ones. Oishala yuchlu liknais v'makam acher. Avu yichaylam liknais v'makam acher. If they're able to buy it somewhere else, Mutter limkor lehem, you could sell them kol davar, everything you want. V'yesh machmir. But they're those who are machmir. What's going on over here? So this is another level. Until now we've been talking about there's an iser d'oraisa of lifnei iser l'asita in michshol. Now we discover that there's a whole tumble here about is there an iser d'rabbanan of lifnei iver. This vera is eventually called by the poskim is misayeya. Is that not you're not causing the avera to happen, like putting it across the river to the nazir, and the nazir now is able to drink it. Before it's impossible for him to get a hold of it, was on the roadside of the river. You stretched out your hand and you handed it to him, and now he's able to do the avera. But over here we're talking about where I don't need to. The nazir has a store down the block on his side of the river where he's able to go ahead and get wine. So now the question becomes, I don't need you to go ahead. So if a person takes the cup of wine and puts it on the other side of the river, I really didn't accomplish anything much because he already had an opportunity to go to the store. This gets extremely complicated. This gets, and there's some important nuances here which really make a difference in the halacha questions that come up at the end over here. It's like this. Is what's considered to be that you're facilitating, and what is it considered to be that you're just helping him? Right? The lines get very, very fuzzy. So, for example, like in our cases, so let's say the person has a store on his side. So we said, well, if he has a store on his side, he could have gotten it anyway, so there's no lifnei iver, because he can get the wine, he can pick himself up and go buy wine. But let's say it's a big schlep. Oh, so maybe he wouldn't go get it. So there's a lot of like fuzzy things like this, with what's exactly the guidelines of lifnei iver, and where are the guidelines of not lifnei iver. It comes up another story, which is there's a fascinating story in the poskim. There's a tshuva from the Radvaz. Radvaz says like this, there was a woman that was married to a man, which I guess like Radvaz was from Egypt, so this was probably either in Eretz Yisrael or Egypt, Turkey maybe. And she was married to a person, unfortunately, which there were plenty of them in that area at that time, who was a tzduki. He was a tzduki. He did not believe in Tarshish Baal Peh. Okay, he only believed in Tarshish Baksav, and that was it. And so they were married. And what happens is she sends a shaila. She says she doesn't know what to do. Right? She's married to this guy. This guy is not shomer anything, the rabbanans or anything. Like she had what she's mechuyev to do. So the Radvaz goes like this. He's a long tshuva. It's irrelevant, all of the tshuva. But at one point he comes like this. He says like this. You cook for him every day. So if you cook for him every day, so the food that you're cooking is probably, al pi halacha, is not kosher. This guy's a tzaduki. Maybe they keep certain things, but who says they salt the meat? Who knows? I don't know what the tzadukim did and what they didn't do. But the bottom line is we don't know what's, you know, your food is probably not kosher. And so like this. So he said, this man is going to go ahead. I'm adding this on. Let's say now this man, if she didn't cook for him, let me go buy food somewhere else. There's no problem for him to go somewhere else and get food. He's quite able to do that. But so what's the problem over here? So, well, she a misayeya. She's making it easier for him to do it. She's bringing the food. Maybe she's a misayeya. Let's say there is no misayeya. Let's say we go with the poskim that don't agree that there's such a thing as a misayeya midirabbanan. So maybe she'll be okay? Radvaz says no. Radvaz says if what she's doing something is something more than just like a regular action. She's helping him out. What's over here is this is she's the one who's giving him the food. She's making the food, she's giving him the food. The whole thing is being done by her to go ahead and give him this food. So what happens is she's facilitating it to a point where she's like the major actor here. So the Radvaz says, even though he can go go a restaurant and like, you know, she does, he didn't cook for tonight. She, you know, 40 days already, I haven't cooked every night. So he goes to the restaurant, he'll eat at a restaurant. There's no problem, he's gonna get food one way or another. But the bottom, he'll get his spooky food, no problem. He'll get whatever he wants to eat. But when you go ahead and you are the instigator of what's happening, she's the one who's cooking from the beginning to the end. And so therefore, he says, that means you are lifnei ivra lesitein mishal. The fact that he's able to go and get it somewhere else is not going to be, even though the Gemara says it has to be, that it has to be on two sides of a river. I mean, you need the person who's in between to go ahead and to give the wine to the nazir, and therefore he's giving it. And that's because he's just giving it then. But if it's somebody who's going in and preparing it and cooking it and taking care of it and making sure that all the things are there, so such a thing like that, where you are making the whole thing available, that it's going to be ready to be eaten and whatever, and it's cooked and it's everything, he says that's still called lifnei ivra. The Gemara's exclusion that when it's not on straight avra denaro, when that it's not when it's easy for the nazir to go ahead and to get the cup of wine, so that's not going to be, that's not a fast rule, that's only the only time that this is going to happen. It's shy that if the person is very involved in it and he pushes it through, that's also considered to be lifnei ivra lesitein mishal. So for example, if you have a broker on a deal, and the broker on the deal is pushing the deal together, and the deal happens to have ribbis in it. The Gemara tells us in the Sefer Bava Metzia that if you go ahead and you're involved with a loan, and the loan has ribbis in it, and he did not take care of it, or pi halacha, with that the iskas, etc., etc., and they're loaning with ribbis, and so people who are involved tendentially. So, for example, the broker is over on lifnei ivra lesitein mishal, but they say, well, it's not so bad because it's maybe only the rabbanon, because there's so many brokers in this town. There's 100 brokers. So, first of all, many boys can say that's never an excuse. Just because you're going to go from one broker to the next broker, that's not called treyava denara. It's not on treyava denara. Such a thing is you're just going from one Jew to the next Jew to do the exact same thing. So it's considered to be lifnei ivra. But when you're facilitating it, the Radva says that's also always called lifnei ivra lesitein mishal. Meaning it doesn't have to be on two sides of the river. There's no other broker in town, and that's why I'm being ivra. And if there's two brokers, so then it's not a problem. No, it's a problem because you're facilitating it. So even if there's 1,000 brokers and they're all circling trying to get this deal and to sign off on it and they want to do it, and it's, but there's ribbons in there. Okay, well then some people say, okay, so don't, you know, I'll cover my eyes and I won't look too hard. But there's ribbons in there. Yeah, how are you doing? It's Trey Avadanar. They could choose somebody else. If they don't want me, they can go somewhere else. That's not an excuse. If you're the guy who's going in and pushing it through and making sure that everything is done and everything's well taken care of, the Ravaz tells us that is there's lifnei ivra lesitein mishal. Not everyone passes like this Ravaz, but it exists out there. Now, what goes on over here, so that's the one situation. Now, so we're saying that even sometimes when there are other people, involved, so that could do it, we're saying that's not still an excuse to call it that it was with it's like on the same bank, that he could do it some other way. That's not an excuse. Either because, like we said, because he's involved with it, or else because you're just going from one Jew to the next Jew, that's still called lifnei ivra lesitein mishal. So this is one situation we have to be careful with. So when you're brokering something, so chas v'shalom, a person has to make sure that if the people are Jewish people involved with the loan, you have to make sure that they have a proper heter iska beforehand, and you should speak to your poysik to figure out exactly what to do in such a situation.
If you try to get them to do it and they don't do it, you should excuse yourself?
Say it again?
If you try to get them to do it and they don't do it, you should excuse yourself from
the deal. You should get out of it. Otherwise, you have a good chance of delivering it to the Raisa, and possibly, I mean, depending on the situations, yes. A good chance you're going to have an Issa D'Oraisa over here. There's another situation that shows up, and this is way beyond, this is a whole shiur by itself, is the nursing homes. everybody dreams of owning a nursing home. This is Florida, and if you're one, forget about one and now. No, nobody's dreaming about one. Everybody's thinking 600 nursing homes. Okay. And okay, anybody here was dreaming about that? But anyway, no one will admit to it, but everyone's dreaming about it. Kitzer Amaisa. So the problem is that over there, once again, this is a whole shiur to itself. There's a huge problem, because in these nursing homes, what's the point of having a nursing home? To say I have 600 nursing homes, that's not why. Because I want to be able to say that I make $6 billion a year, and it's like, you know, and I'm in the course of Gavir, and I don't know, whatever it is. That's what the whole purpose is, money. So when you want to make money, the biggest site is you have to keep your expenses down. And so now comes a huge gates of horror for people. People who have nursing homes, they have a huge gates of horror. When I feed people, so what am I going to use, kosher food, or am I going to use traitor food? Okay, and this, we're not talking about, you know, it's like, should I go to this grocery store, that grocery store, because they have a dollar cheaper, just walk another 10 minutes to get that dollar cheaper or not. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about big money. And now that it becomes a big get to horror. So of course, they want to get straight from food. It's worth a, you know, a quarter of the price. And you could save millions and maybe hundreds of millions of dollars every year by serving non-kosher food. Okay. So this is a Yetzer Hara. I think we're just running out of time, I guess, right? So what happens is now, what do you do? What about the people in your nursing home who are eating? So we didn't really get time to talk about this today, but there's an issue now. Am I mechuyev to go ahead and to make sure it's kosher? So what do you mean, it's a yid? No, but this yid, right, that's here, in his whole life he never ate kosher. So do I have to worry about him? Okay, there's a little shock over here to deal with this question, but no time for that. But so that's one problem. And then you have problems, you can have a frumma yidim there also. So what you can do is you can come up with eitzes. So one eitz is get a partner that's a guy, and you'll give all the food belongs to your partner that's the guy. Once again, that's a big yetzer hara, because once again, you're here to make money. And if I'm going to take a partner, so the partner has to take part of it. So LMI, I'll get a partner that's like one of these like partners that you make a deal with, and like, yeah, let's just go partner. You know, you get 1 trillion of the money that I make per year, which turns out to be less than a penny anyway, but okay, yeah, but I gave it to him, I gave him that penny. And all of a sudden, it's all okay. It's not so pushy. Because it's still your patience that you're pushing to eat by that person, number one. Number two, also, you know, making a deal that he gets, you know, 1 trillionth of the, that's so they're shilas. I'm not going to say one way or another way. This is shilas for a rough to paskin, and every situation is different, and that's that. So these are common situations where people get, that's for the wealthier people. Other people, like we said before, it's signing on papers, signing the papers that are questionable with ribbis. And there was another issue about getting involved with people who are dishonest. I just want to talk about one thing over here. We're talking the whole day today about, lifnei iver lo yisitein nafsho. It's an issur d'oraisa. It's a terrible thing to do. It's a mamush issur d'oraisa. But we don't realize how bad it is. You know, the Gemara tells us in the Sefer Shabbos that by the Churban Bayis Rishon is the real. I'm sorry, let me skip this book. Forget that real. But they're holding mamush up by the Churban. The Babylonians, we just had over here, we were just talking about them. We had Bobo surrounding Yerushalayim, but this is, they were way past Yerushalayim. They were mamish ready to make the final push into the city. The Rebbeinu Shalom goes ahead and says, "Is, you know what? this is it, Korban. And so he goes ahead and he sends Gabriel down with three fires and then to destroy the city. And he says, take the tzaddikim and put the letter tongue on their forehead. You put a mark. Maybe it's going to be the mark, it's a letter. And you put it on the forehead. And when Gabriel is going to come into the city, make sure that you don't touch any of the tzaddikim. Okay. And then what happened? So all of a sudden the Midas Adin comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Midas Adin tells the Ribbono Shel Olam, he says, it's not fair. Tzaddikim? He's not tzaddikim. These are terrible people. Why? Why are they terrible people? Because terrible people, because they never gave Musar to anybody. So the Midas Rachum says, as Ribbono Shel Olam says, he says, what do you mean? Nobody would have listened to them. That's why they didn't give it. They didn't try. They didn't know that they were not going to listen to them. They didn't even try. So the Ribbono Shel Olam said, okay, so I can't say anything. So they go ahead, they said, rip that thing off their forehead. And not only that, there's going to be the first ones to be attacked. Anyone who was a tzaddik is to blame for the loss of the city of Yerushalayim, because they didn't give Musar to other people. So we learned from an unbelievable thing. The tzaddikim didn't do any averis. They didn't do anything wrong. It was they didn't give Musar to the other people, so they were punished in this terrible way, that they were the ikar destruction was by the tzaddikim. That's what Yerushalayim said. You go after the tzaddikim. So Pala de Gagamar. What does that have to do with the Asher? So because the post can point out in Hilchos Mesiras Nefesh is that that it's considered when you go ahead and you don't give teichacha to a person, that's the point of the Gemara there, is that you don't give teichacha, you are responsible for the Aver, and you're responsible for the Aver, so you have to pay for it. There's one idea which I'm talking about, and I'll finish with this, which connects to this last thing that we were just saying, is that when it comes with Ne'ivra L'Sitein Nechshol, we find a similar thing. We find a similar thing by L'Sitein, with Ne'ivra L'Sitein Nechshol. What do we find? The place can say, I'm not going to get into this, but it's a Chazayin issue who says this. This is not like in some Musar Sefer or something. It's just like that's why I'm adding that. But the Chazon Yosef said, this is the Chazon Yosef's idea, that the Avera of Ne'ivra L'Sitein Nechshol is just like, and I'm adding this just like we saw in the Gemara in Shabbos, that they became responsible for all the Averas were done because they didn't give Musar. When a person goes ahead and does Ne'ivra L'Sitein Nechshol, and he puts a stumbling block in front of a person, you might do that as a joke, you might do it as a cute thing, you might think somebody is struggling with something and you think it's cute, like, you know, and then you give him a Yetzer Hara for something. You give him that opportunity. You put it in front of him, something that he wasn't planning on doing, and all of a sudden for a joke, you put it in front of him. And so you get involved with a business deal where there's a lot of problems, and you're helping them out, and you're helping them get through the deal. You're a broker, you're a guarantor, you're somebody who's involved with this thing. All kinds of situations where we get involved with Averis. So the Chazon Yosef says that with Ne'ivra L'Sitein Nechshol is not the pshat that you did the Averis with Ne'ivra. With Ne'ivra L'Sitein Nechshol means you're doing the Averis of doing ribbits. You're doing the Averis of feeding people trade for food. You're doing the Averis, you are doing those Averis. Just like a person who doesn't give Musar, you see in the Gemara that it's considered like you're doing it. So it's mamish considered to be like you're doing it. So if a person's involved, like let's say a businessman, let's say has a more problem with this, they're dominating on the ilah. They're the ilah, they're mamish, they're talus over their head and they're crying and they're everything. They come to Shemayim, they say, oh wow, that was a terrible Yom Kippur for you. What do you mean? I was dominating with such geshmak. That was everything. But yeah, but your whole time you were davening, you were eating tray for food. What do you mean? I only kosher food. What are you talking about? Of course you trade for food every single day of your life. You've been eating tray for food. Why? Because the people who were sitting in your facility, as they were eating tray for food, and you were giving it to them, if you didn't fix it up, and now and all of a sudden you're eating tray in the middle of Nila, you're eating tray. That's what it is. And the Rebbe Yisrael says you're responsible for that aver. So the Chazanu says that's what Lifnei Iver means, that I am also doing the aver. Together with the person that I made him stumble, I myself am responsible for that. And we'll stop with this. Thank you very much.
No.